John chapter 3, Jesus had a dialogue with a man by the name of Nicodemus. And he begins to explain to him about how to come in communion with the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 5 of that chapter, "Most assuredly I say to you, Nicodemus, unless one's born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes." Okay, wait a minute. Let's read that one together. Verse 8 is so important. Ready? Let's read it. "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Now, I want you to get the correlation of what Jesus is saying. He said the wind comes from a place and goes to another place, and no one knows how to track it, how to determine its direction. So also is everyone who is born of the Spirit. I want to share with you this morning or afternoon how vital it is that we learn to have more dependency on the Holy Spirit, the winds of God in our life. And today is a great day to roll down your windows. Amen. After a long winter. Because I think there are a lot of us that like to keep the windows up. Let me explain to you. There's times when Tina and I are on our way to some event. She has her hair the way she wants her hair. I have my hair just kind of like it always is. And I'll say, "Let's roll the window down." So I'll roll the window down. And it's blowing all over, and her scarf's going this way, and her hair's coming down in her mouth and her face, and she's trying to pull it back. And she said, "Can you please put the windows up?" And I said, "Yeah, no problem, because we appreciate the comfort of climate control." And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "You know, my church has appreciated and come to enjoy climate control, because if the wind blows too forcefully in their life, it will bring discomfort or maybe even rearrange their look." And so we learned to drive with the windows up. Now, some years ago, the church, before we were birthed out here for my 50th birthday, bought me a brand new motorcycle. It was so much fun. And it's a Honda. I'm still looking for the Harley if you feel so led. But if it's a Honda, I still drive it today. It's 12 years old. It's only got 10,000 miles on it, so I don't get out on it a lot. But I remember they drove it in. They drove it in to the auditorium, and I got on it, started it, and drove it around the sanctuary. It was so much fun. I'm like, "Wow, this is cool. I'm driving a motorcycle in the sanctuary of God. I am so anointed." But I noticed that when I was on the highway going 65 miles an hour, that the wind was incredible. So you have to have eye protection. But then I thought, you know, better served, maybe I need a windshield. So I had a windshield installed. So when I'm going 65 miles an hour, it hits the windshield and goes around me and brings more comfort to my ride. And here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. "Tell my people to take the windshields off, because the wind of my Spirit wants to blow in their lives and rearrange some things, and change some things." You see, verse 8 said, "So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for spirit or wind is R-U-A-C-H, ruach. And it really means the breath of God, or to blow. In the New Testament, it is pneuma. Pneuma, it means this, to breathe. It means to blow. It means to be like the wind, or have an invisible trait, or immaterial, or powerful. That's what it means in the Greek. So when you talk about the wind of God, it's referring to God's power, God's breath, the life of God. And so I believe that in this age in which we live, we've got to begin to distinguish, because let me tell you something. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not a Pentecostal thing. Nor is it a charismatic thing. Because somehow we have divided it up and said, I'm of the opinion that you need to be saved, but we don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit because we think that's the devil. And those things have passed away. So we are Baptists in our theology. You are Pentecostal because you believe in it. I don't believe it's a Pentecostal thing or a charismatic thing. Are you ready for this? I believe it is a kingdom thing. So we need to break down the walls of our little Pentecostal box and understand that the winds of the Spirit are going to blow wherever the wind of God desires to blow. And I don't know about you, but I am going to roll my windows down. I'm going to put the top down. I'm going to take my windshields off and just see what God might do in my life. How about you? The Holy Spirit could literally be called the breath of God. If you were to further define it, you could say, well, the wind of God is really the breath of God. And if you see in John chapter 20 and verse 22, Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and this is really important. He said to him, he had breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So literally, he breathed on them or allowed breath from his being to blow over them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So the breath and the Holy Spirit are identified as one. So we as Pentecostals or full gospel or charismatic need to begin seeing the ministry of the Holy Spirit more than just a denominational association. It is more than just an experience for those who want to operate in the gifts. No. It is God's methodology of imparting who He is to a people. It is God's means of imparting life to you and me. Now let me show you a couple of scriptures that I think you're going to begin to understand more fully how important it is that we put the top down. Let me just talk about that for a minute, because my wife has a small little car. And they say it's a two-seater. No, they say it's four seats. It has a back seat, but you can't sit in it. It's only about this wide. And if I were to be driving, you would have no room for your legs. It's just right up against the back. Well, she puts grandchildren in there. And my wife is a free spirit. She loves freedom. She'll go down the street, and it's only 65. Like today, if we were driving that car, she would want me to put the top down. Because she said, just turn the heater on. Because she knows my objection. I'm going to say it's too cold. And she'll say, just put the heater on. Okay, why am I going to put the heater on just to have the top down? Because it's woohoo, woohoo, woohoo. So she's driving down the road going, woohoo, woohoo. Well, when the grandkids are in the back seat, especially little Emma, Louie's daughter, she has this long flowing hair. She's sitting in a car seat. She's got this seatbelt around her. She's all strapped in. Can't only get her hands up. The winds are blowing all over her. And she's saying, Nana, with hair in her face and all over in her mouth, put the top up. And Nana's going, woohoo, woohoo, what'd you say? Woohoo, woohoo. Driving down the road. Look at the scripture. It's pretty insightful in Psalm 33, verse 6. I want us to begin to enjoy the ride of the wind of God. I want us to begin to enjoy the journey of what God has prepared for us in spite of all the opposition, in spite of all that the devil has done or is doing right now. I want us to get down deep in there and find our woohoo and enjoy the journey, all right? Look at Psalm 33, verse 6. Let's read it together. Ready? Read. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Isn't that an incredible scripture? God said, I created the entire heavens by my word. But then he also gives further definition of that. And he said, by the breath of my mouth, I created. See how important it is, the wind of God blowing in a life, blowing in a family, blowing in a church, blowing in your finances, blowing in your relationships. The wind of God has a creative ability about it. In other words, what did not exist prior to the wind blowing can now be created by the wind and leave something there materially that wasn't there before the wind began to blow. And so when we look at the wind of God blowing in our lives and our church, we want to invite them to come. But let me just say, when the wind blows, debris gets spread around. Do you know this is a weird thing? Someone told me that the sands of the Sahara can be caught up by the trade winds from Africa and be dropped in your backyard. Now, how can wind take one kernel of sand from the continent of Africa and bring it to my backyard? But it's true. How many of you saw the news report of the 30 million plus locusts that just invaded Egypt and southern Israel? Did you see that? If you didn't see that, here was my question. Who arranged the flash mob of all the locusts? How did they gather over Egypt? All 30 million of them. It was like God said, okay, you call locust B, you call locust C, you call locust A. No, the wind of God began to blow. And when the wind of God began to blow, it began to gather individual locusts that created a swarm of locusts that began to impact an entire nation that one standing alone would not have had any impact. But when the wind of God gathered them together and drove them with the purpose of His intent, suddenly the whole world knew that they had been invaded by a swarm of locusts, and they were able to invade the agriculture of that nation and impact that nation because of the gathering of the wind. Let me say something about Psalm 33. I don't know where you are in your life right now, and it may seem like it's an impossibility for God to do what you know only God can do. But when the wind of God begins to blow in and around your life, ladies and gentlemen, God can take one kernel of sand from the Sahara and put it in the trade winds and drop it off in your backyard. Then I know my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could think or ask. God can create when the wind blows. Secondly, Genesis 2 and 7. I like this verse because Genesis 2 and 7 says the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And then what did he do? He breathed. Ruach. He breathed in him. The wind was released in him. The breath of God was released in him. And he became a living being. The wind of God can come to that which has defied life. That thing that seems to be weak, dissipating, on its last leg, unable to survive on its own. Then we know but God. And it's not necessarily a prayer or a sermon that you need. It is the wind of God, the breath of God, to breathe into that thing and watch it become a living being. So the wind of God can create where there's nothing. The wind of God can bring life to that which is dying or dead. But third, the wind of God can give you victory. Because 2 Samuel talks to us about David, and the Spirit of God said simply this, when you hear the sound of the marching on the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. In other words, when the wind begins to blow in the mulberry trees, you know I've gone before you. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I need to recreate in our life a dependency upon the wind of God in our family, in our personal life, in our church. And my God, in this region, would you with me lift your hands and say, wind of God, blow in northeastern Ohio. Wind of God, blow in America. Wind of God, blow over the nations of the earth. Oh, hallelujah. You see, the wind is one of the most powerful forces on the face of the earth. And God makes a comparison with the wind of God and the Holy Spirit. He's helping our finite minds to understand God's infinite power. He's saying, listen, you see how the wind blows. You see where the wind goes, where it desires to go. So are those who are born of my spirit. Understand, this is your DNA. This is your spiritual heritage. You don't have to depend on what man can do for you. Not that God wouldn't use a man, but let me tell you something. What I know is that God's breath, the wind of God, can create for you what man can never arrange. God's breath can bring life to that which, no matter how much resuscitated power you may have in the natural, it cannot bring it back to life. But God's Spirit can bring life to that thing that's dying or dead. God's Spirit can give you the victory against insurmountable odds. Those things that are standing in defiance against you, whether it be a Goliath in the valley of Elah, or whether it be a Red Sea defying your pathway across to freedom. God said, watch my wind begin to blow, and I'll make a way where there is no way. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to once again to take the top down, to begin to pull down our windows and begin to take away our windshields and say, Holy Spirit, even if you mess up my hair, Holy Spirit, even if you mess up my clothes, Holy Spirit, even if it's discomforting and disconcerting for a minute, it's all right. Wind of God, blow, blow through my house, blow through my marriage, blow through my life. I need you to breathe on me, Holy Spirit. You have to understand, the wind of God is a transformational force. I have on my phone a video that Mary made for me. I don't know if you have it on your phone and you can give it to them to show them when you were in front of my house. But she said, this is Mary White reporting from 73 Rosewood Drive. And it was during Hurricane Sandy. We had approximately 60 to 70 mile an hour winds coming off the lake. And she was nearly blown off of her feet. The wind of God is a transformational power. Say transformational. You have to understand, when the wind blows, it changes things. Can I tell you, Jeff, that wonderful garbage can you gave me, I love it every day. Now, this is stupid, but Jeff brought me a garbage can, and it has a lid that's attached to it, so the wind can't blow the lid one direction and the can the other. However, 70 mile an hour winds take the whole thing right down the street. And it's an amazing thing, when that 70 mile an hour wind began to blow, siding began to peel off of our house. Shingles began to fly everywhere, and everybody's garbage can was going in every direction. I've just got to tell you, somebody got blessed with my Kitzmiller garbage can. And what I got in return was not near as good. But how many know that God is good all the time? And the Spirit of God led me down the street and I said, hey, that's mine. That's my can. But when the wind of God blew, the house looked different. It began to expose some things I didn't even know was under there. There was blue styrofoam under there. Shingles were gone, and there was paper flying, and there was leaks coming, and the change was obvious. My grass, my flowers, my garbage cans. When the wind began to blow, it transformed the landscape. Oh, Jesus. Wind erosion. The moment the wind begins to blow with that kind of force and that kind of power, wind erosion is like this. It's the movement of material. It's the movement of material that is lifted by the power of the wind. Like this thing. Wind could lift this. See, you're all sitting here like, praise the Lord. Amen. And you see that little gentle breeze of that fan, it kind of hits you and brings the heat down. It's like, ooh, that's nice. But if we turn that up to about 30 miles an hour, there would be a little bit different of an impact. And then 50. You'd be holding on to something at 50. At 70, you'd be holding on to more. Probably your chair. Probably get on the ground. Probably look for one of those poles. At 100, you'll be on that wall over there and I'd be saying, hey, what are you doing over there? Because the lifting power of the wind is greater than the gravity and the friction of the earth. When the wind in its velocity is greater than the gravity and the friction, it cannot remain. So what we need is a wind from God blowing without restraint to overpower what naturally would hold something in its place and lift it up and move it. That's why Jesus said, you can speak to this mountain, say, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will obey you. I don't know if you have a mountain that you need to speak to, but I just wish you'd stand right now if you do and point your finger up to heaven and talk to the wind of God and begin to say, blow in my circumstance, blow in my situation, blow over my family, blow over my health, blow over my money, blow over my past, blow over my future, and the wind of God will be lifting that from the natural gravity and friction that would ordinarily hold it in its place. You can be seated. Now watch, because this is so important. The transformational power of the wind of God is with purpose. Galatians 4:14 says this, until Christ is formed in you. When the wind blows hard enough, all the debris, I love it when the wind blows in the fall. I got so many trees and so many leaves. I said, let the wind blow. Let the wind blow to my neighbor's house. And when the wind starts blowing and those leaves start twirling, they're moving. I say, hey, God's blowing the wind. Look at the leaves that are moving and I don't have to rake them. God is able to move what ordinarily will not move unless I have to energize it and cause it upon it to move it. And I look out of the yard. I said, look at my yard. The yard is so pretty. It's clean. Thank you, Jesus. But then the wind's direction next time changes. And everything that blew out is starting to blow back in. I'm like, Lord, no, no. Until Christ is formed in you. How many know that when the wind of God blows, it'll blow debris out of your life. It'll blow dirt out of your life. It'll blow carnality out of your life. It'll blow sin out of your life. The wind of God will move that which is held by gravity and friction and overpower it. And God's landscape will take over. But only if you have your windshield down. Only if you put your top down. Only if you have your windows down. The church has become too comfortable because we're so liking how we look. We're so comfortable with the way things have been. We don't want nothing messed up. But let me tell you something. When God's wind blows, He messes stuff up. He will use what the devil tried to destroy you, and He will use to drive you deeper in the Spirit of God. You all sound Pentecostal. You see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a Pentecostal thing. God help us to get us into this generation. It is a charismatic thing. It is a kingdom thing. The wind of God is subject to blow at any time, at any place in the service. The wind of God, we expect it to blow. We know that without the wind, there's no transformation. We know without the wind, I can't lift that thing. Without the wind, I can't move that thing, because gravity and friction is too much for my feeble mind, my weakness and my natural strength. But oh, when the wind of God begins to blow, suddenly the Spirit of God came on Samson. And what he couldn't do in the natural, the wind of God got a hold of him. And he lifted up a whole city gate on his back, picked up the jawbone of a donkey and slew 1,000. He was able to pull a pillar down and kill thousands in his death, more than he had ever done in his life, because of the wind of God. And so I need to have this transformation in my life. You see, I have this route that I take often not far from my house, and there's this huge wind turbine in the middle of a parking lot. And I thought, that's a weird place to put a wind turbine, right in the middle of a parking lot. And it's aimed toward the lake. And that wind comes off that lake. Suddenly those big blades begin to turn. And as the wind blows harder, they turn faster. And they turn faster. And there's this little box on the back of that little wind turbine's blades that's suddenly generating electricity. And that electricity goes down through the wire and under the parking lot and into the grocery store where I get my milk. And when I go to the cooler to buy my milk, suddenly I open it up and I feel the coolness of that container. And I pull my milk out because it's been preserved by the lowering of the temperature. And I can go to the manager and say, thank you, sir, for the milk that you got cool inside the cooler. But you see, the manager isn't the source of that temperature. I have to understand that it wasn't necessarily the manager that was able to freeze and preserve that meat. No, it wasn't even the climate control in that particular grocery store, because I'd have to trace it back to its source. Even though it converted the power into electricity, it came as a result of the wind turbine being in direction of the wind blowing. And suddenly, because it wind turned in my life, it produced a power that ordinarily would not have been generated. And now that generation of power is able to do what it needs to do in my life and bring to me what I need brought to my life. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by God's Spirit, saith the Lord. You and I need the wind of God to begin to blow in our life. Somebody shout hallelujah. Woo! 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 Acts 17:6 talks about the apostles coming into a city. And they said this about them: and they turned upside down the whole world, and they've come here. I don't want to be another church in the community. I don't want to have another children's program everybody likes, or youth program, or some kicking worship. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking to turn you upside down. I'm looking to take this region and bounce you on your head. I'm looking at customs and I'm looking at strongholds and I'm looking at things long standing where the wind of God would move into this region and begin to transform it, not by what we do, but by the presence of an almighty Holy Ghost who can do only what God can do. See, it's time for us to begin to depend on the wind of God. Why? Because the wind of God can create when there's nothing to create out of. The wind of God can also give you life where there has been no life. The wind of God can also give you victory where there's only been defeat. We have so compartmentalized church service. We have traditionalized it. We have boxed it. We've made it palatable. We have packaged it to make it comfortable. We keep the windows up. If you crack them, it's okay. But don't crack them too much. Because if you crack them too much, preacher, you're going to mess with my hair. And I say, God, let the wind blow in this place where weaves, hair pieces, Bibles. Wait, notes from sermons, music, gets caught up in the wind of God, and God transforms the landscaping of our lives, and we realize that but for God, Second Corinthians chapter 10, you know the verse, verse 3 and 4, talking about we do not war in the flesh. In verse 4, he goes on to say that not warring in the flesh, we actually understand that we war in the spirit. But watch what it says. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Watch. The weapons of our warfare are not subject to gravity and friction. I felt that right there for somebody. I don't know who it is, but my God, take it. If you're fighting this thing with gravity and friction in mind, you're going to lose. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural. They're not earthly. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural. They're not earthly. They're not gravity-oriented, and neither are they friction-oriented. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the weapon of our warfare, the way we do battle. Then he says this, but they are what?
Mighty.
Come on, say it with me. They're what?
Mighty.
Shout it out.
Mighty.
They are mighty. They are dunamis. They are dynamo. They are as a result of the wind of God being caught by the turbine of your commitment to His Lordship, generating electricity and power to do what the call of God is upon your life. Ooch. I feel it, Jesus. I have to control myself because sometimes I just feel like I get stupid up here. I have to just kind of like take a breath, chill out, think of Jesus on the cross. Don't get too happy. People think you're on something. Mighty. Mighty what? Mighty what? Mighty in God for what? Pulling down strongholds. So the wind is designed specifically for strongholds. I'm getting it. Strongholds are established by gravity and friction. Jericho was shut up. No one came out and no one came in. Huh? But you can't build a wall to keep the wind from blowing in your little fortress. Stronghold is simply this. It's a hiding place. Everybody say hiding place.
Hiding place.
You know, the devil likes to have a hiding place. A refuge. Say refuge.
Refuge.
It's a refuge. It's a hiding place. A stronghold is that which is impenetrable. It is established as an identity. Many of us have come to church this morning with strongholds. Hiding places. Compartment in us of defeat, anger, rejection, bitterness. Strongholds. A castle. We've gone to counselors, prayer lines, preaching seminars. We've taken pills, prescriptions. We've tried New Age therapy, acupuncture. We've tried everything, and the stronghold is still strong. They marched around Jericho. I don't know why we're doing this. Shh, don't talk. I don't know. I don't get it. 1-2 days, but like 6 days is, shh, don't talk. And it went on and on and on until they heard the sound of the trumpet. And God said, shout. And these formidable walls of, some say even 30 yards thick, some say even 200 feet high. I don't know the exact dimensions, but I know this. It took the power of God to bring that down, because there was no weapon known to man that could catapult any object into that wall and open it up for an attack. It was too strong. It was too formidable. It was impenetrable. The only thing that could bring it down was something that had authority over gravity and friction. And when the wind of God began to blow, the Bible said the entirety of the wall came tumbling down. I said, God, there's some strongholds in my friends this morning. These are my friends, God. These are my friends. And friendship is not designed or defined by whether we bowl together on Tuesday. Because some of them people aren't your friends. They just like it when you buy them. They buy you. You buy them something. But I'm your friend. And you're my friend. And I don't like the devil messing with my friends. And you came here with a stronghold, a hiding place. Some of us have had hiding places given to us by the generation previous to us called a curse. It's passed down from one to the other. Some of us have experienced it as a child growing up, and suddenly there's a hiding place in our heart. And you've come to church. And we could sing 3 cute songs and give you a little poem and a joke and give you a 3-point sermon, and you'll go home with the same stronghold you came in with. Some of us are going through life and death situations. Some of us have family on ICU and life support, and we need a miracle from God. Some of us have children that are in trouble and on drugs and being captivated by a demon and a power of darkness. Some of us this morning need a lifting from God. We need a lifting from God. We need a supernatural wind of God to blow, to move out that thing that gravity and friction is held in our lives. The power of the wind can move objects that ordinarily you cannot move. I saw in this morning 30 seconds of the news. That's all I saw. 30 seconds. And I saw a house on the East Coast that was on stilts, big old house, 3 stories, laying on its side in the water. And they said, the wind blew last night. Man built it to stay up. And God said, watch this. I'd be like, God, you know how much I paid to put those pylons in that ground? You know how much money I've been paying on insurance to keep that? Do you know what this cost me? And God said, watch this. Let me just tell you this morning that there are heavy timbers in storms that have been known to be driven in the solid ground 9 feet in depth just from wind. What would take you a pneumatic principle of instrument or some drill or a lot of backbreaking work to dig a hole to put that pole in, God does. There's been straw blowing around in a tornadic wind and suddenly driven into the side of a tree. Try that. God says, watch this. Pretty cool, huh? I'm God and you're not. Now, wait a minute. There's been wind blowing at such velocity, it has picked up a locomotive off the tracks and moved it. And God said, watch. Wasn't that cool? You're going, God, how did you do that? Because the wind is greater lifting power than gravity and friction to hold down, no matter how much weight of that burden, no matter how weighty that thing and no matter how impossible that thing is to you and me, to God, gravity and friction is no match when the wind of God begins to blow over that thing and He lifts it and places it whatsoever He wills. Now, wait a minute. Go back to John chapter 3. Go verse 8, please. Can you go backwards? John 3, verse 8, because you need to get the correlation of this. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. Read the last part, please, everybody. So, it is your heritage. How many are born again? Let me see your hand. All right. You are qualified for crazy wind. You and I are now in the realm of crazy wind that can overpower gravity and friction, and in the natural could never be moved or done by you or me or even this entire church. We could not get around the locomotive and say, okay, lift. It wouldn't happen. But God said, stand back. And He'll go, and He lifts it, and He moves it, and He puts it back down. You and I are qualified for that kind of life. So is everyone. Say everyone.
Everyone.
Say that's me.
That's me.
Look at somebody and say, and that's you.
That's you.
So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You get it? In other words, this isn't just for the preacher. This isn't just for the deacon or the elder. This is a kingdom thing. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. God said He wants us, His people, to allow the wind to blow in our lives and let Him do only what God can do. Ladies and gentlemen, there's times we need the wind of God to blow with destructive force and demolish everything we've been trying to build. You say, no, that's my baby, that's my house, that's my stuff, that's my thing. God said, that's not your source. It's because you built that wind turbine. You think that's your source? That wind turbine would have nothing if it wasn't for my... And I remember a story out of Ezekiel 37. It's a powerful story. Where's Deanne? Come on, baby. And Ezekiel's looking at these bones in his belly. God says, can he live? God says, only you know. Here's what God told him. Watch this. You got to get this in your heart. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Do you hear me? You didn't hear me. Some of you heard me, but a lot of you didn't hear me because you're just like thinking about what's for lunch. Listen to me. Prophesy to the breath. The breath is what? The wind of God, the Spirit of God. Speak to the wind. Oh. Prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath. Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds. Go ahead and start singing. Come from the four winds, O breath. Come from the four winds, O breath. Someday we'll preach on the four winds. Come from the four winds, O breath. And breathe what? On what? It's open book. Come on. On what? On these that are slain. You need to say that. On these what? It does not make logical sense for us to prophesy to God, the Holy Ghost, the wind of God, to say, come and breathe on that which is slain. Slain means it had a battle. It was engaged. It lost. Because if it won, it wouldn't be slain. Do you follow me? It's slain. It was in a battle. Thank you. No. Thank you. She probably got grossed out by my snot. Just kidding. That's what preachers do, you know. We just kind of sweating, spitting. I need to be more refined. Dearly beloved, we said, man, I feel so prophetic in here. Breathe to the slain. You hear me? You and me, you know we've been talking. Breathe to the slain. Go ahead and say. Slain means they were engaged in a battle. What's taking its few last breaths in your life? Come on, sing it. Wind of God, come on.
Wind of God can blow upon us. Breath of God can breathe within us now. Within us now.
Sing it.
Wind of God can blow. Breath of God can breathe within us now. Within us now.
Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, just for a minute. I don't have a formula. I do not have a resuscitation plan for your situation. All I know is when the wind blows, where it listeth, the King James said. Don't know how God calls 30 million locusts together. I don't know how the wind can blow so forcefully and lift a house off of its foundation and get caught up in the vortex of a tornadic storm and move it 2 miles away. I don't know how. I can't give you a prayer or a scripture to make that happen in your life. I don't know how to do that. But I do know this. So it is to those who are born of the Spirit. I know the promise of God. He said the wind, so it is with those who are born again. You and I have access to the wind of God. So just close your eyes with me and think about that thing that's slain, slumping, bleeding, dying. And now I want you to begin to prophesy to it. Prophesy to the Spirit of God. Prophesy to the Spirit. Dion, sing it again. Come on. Wind of God. One more time. One more time. One more time.
Wind of God come home upon us. Breath of God come breathe. Now, within us, now, wind of God can blow upon us, breath of God can breathe within us, now, within us, now, wind of God can blow upon us. Breath of God can breathe within us.
Come on, Jesus.
Now.
Wind of God, blow.
Within us now.
Come on, church. You know it now. Sing it. Come on.
Wind of God can blow upon us. Breath of God can breathe within us now. Within us now.
Come on, lift your voice and sing.
Wind of God can blow upon us. Breath of God can breathe within us now. Within us now.
One more time, sing.
Wind of God can blow upon us. Breath of God can breathe within us now within us now.
Everybody stand to your feet. Come on, sing. Wind of God.
Breath of God, come breathe.
Everybody, come on, stand us.
Now within us now.
Come on, wind of God.
Wind of God, come blow upon us. Breath of God, come breathe within us now. Within us now.
If you're here this morning and you say, hey, Pastor, I need the wind of God to blow. I want you to reach out right now and just prophesy to the breath of God. If this message has resonated in your heart and you say, my God, it's what I need. And I just want to pray for you. And if you feel like you need prayer, I want you to come from where you're standing. We're going to sing it again, but and just line across the front. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but I just feel the unction of God to agree with the wind to blow in your situation. We're going to conclude the service, and I'm going to ask you to do something on the way out for all of our friends who need our help. Everybody, would you please just give $1 to the poor? If you're a husband and wife, that means $2. I'll say, well, he's given. No, you give too. But just to the poor on your way out, the ushers will be there with a bag. Just stand across the front if you feel like you need to come. We're going to say, live right, love everybody, pray hard. We're going to say this. The wind of God is going to transform the landscaping of your current present situation. I'm telling you. Do you hear me? God sent me here this morning. Look at me. Look at me. You say, well, you're here every week. No, listen. I was supposed to be in Louisville, Kentucky today preaching. Tuesday, God said, you preach the wind of God in your pulpit. I canceled the preacher who was coming, and I canceled two services this morning and tonight to be here to preach this message. It's not me that did it, it's God that did it, because the wind of God is what we need. Come on, church. Sing it again. Come on. Wind of God. Come on. Elders, come on. Pastor Tossie. Tina, come on. Ushers, help us out. The wind of God is going to blow in this place. You're dismissed. Love everybody.